Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, June 24th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, the one and only chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. Now remember, from there you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly newsletter, The Chicken Scratch. Get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear like hats and t-shirts, coffee mugs, mouse pads, and keychains. And soon, well, if you don't follow us on Facebook, you'll know soon, based on the quality of the products that we should get in here over the next 5 to 10 days, Chicken Whisperer flip-flops, Chicken Whisperer watches, and some other cool things I've got under the sleeve. So, all that's coming up in our Chicken Whisperer gear store there at chickenwhisperer.com. And don't forget, you have less than a week now to register to win a beautiful $350 chicken coop, brand new, from mypetchicken.com. Great folks over there, Derek and Tracy, have donated three coops for us. We gave one away last month. We're giving away one this month, and we got a great contest coming up for the following month, next month in August. Or I guess it would be July. My word, does time go. Great contest next month. You're going to love it. I guarantee it. But the ugliest chicken coop contest is going on right now at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. Just click on the ugliest chicken coop contest. See about 33, 34 coops that have already been entered. Enter your coops. I got about four more in my email that I need to add to that list. Hopefully I can get that done this afternoon, and then we're approaching the 40 mark. So, if you have an ugly chicken coop and you've entered, that gives you a 1 in 40 chance so far of winning that beautiful brand-new chicken coop from mypetchicken.com. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I want to invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room. It's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you got to do is click on that chat now button at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name, and then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, share your experiences with keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. While you're there at Blog Talk Radio, I also want to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list, all while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. I want to take a moment to thank you so much for listening today. We have a great show lined up for you today, including at the very end of the show, a chicken trivia contest sponsored by McMurray Hatchery. So we'll get to the show. We'll bring on my wonderful, wonderful co-host as soon as we come back after this short break.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-882-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's now time to bring on my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman. Welcome, Pat.
Hey, Whisper, it's always good to be on the show. I got to tell you, this show right now is saving me from frustration. I decided I was going to try to be some kind of a Betty Crocker today, right? Because I've got this peach tree that is so full of peaches. I mean, I'm surprised the limbs didn't break. So I decided I'm going to make some peach puree this morning and beat the bees to it because peaches turned ripe. Overnight, it seemed. I mean, they went from being kind of hard to just falling off the trees and the deer out there eating it. So I thought, I'm going to get my share. So I went out this morning really early and gathered a bunch of peaches and decided I was going to blanch them and then make puree. And, oh, my God, I have made such a mess. I really keep – I've got to learn to leave these things to people that are much more adept at it than I am. But anyway, I've got a sink full of peaches and a pretty dirty kitchen. But anyway, I'm just walking away from it so I can be on the talk show. Thank you for saving me, my peaches.
That sounds like a plan. Me and Jen were out busy today. In fact, on my personal Facebook page, I came in and I said, well, the dogs and chickens and goats and garden and Jen and myself have been fed and watered. Jen was out working in the sunroom a little bit and getting that straightened up, and then I came in and started getting ready for this awesome radio show we have for everyone today. I do have just one chickens in the news, and all of our longtime regular listeners are just going to shake their head because, to be honest with you, I'm sick and tired of reading articles like this, and they come to us. Yeah. I used to say about twice a year, but now it looks like maybe four times a year, about once a quarter, we often in our Chickens in the News segment have a story just like this. And there's no winner here. There is no, I don't know, right or wrong. It's just a sad situation all around. This comes to us from KATU.com. The title here is Neighbor Who Shot Dog Has the Law on His Side. So, again, I can see all the heads shaking back and forth out there because we do bring you these stories quite a bit, and it's an unfortunate occurrence. Near La Center, Washington, she was a family pet described as docile and friendly. So why did a man shoot his neighbor's dog, and why can't the family do anything about it legally? The neighbor, a retired Malamuth County deputy, said he was perfectly justified in shooting the family's dog, and we discovered he is right. The incident happened Friday on a rural road outside of La Center, where Josie Ferguson found her dog, Scout, shot to death in her neighbor's field. Lauren Caddy said he shot the dog because it chased his chickens, but Ferguson said Ferguson says she has her own chickens, and Scout never is interested in them. If I would have thought that Scout was killing chickens, I would have put her down myself, said Ferguson. I'm from the country. I'm from Hemiston. You don't mess with animals that kill livestock. Caddy initially took Cato. He had been, Caddy initially told KATU he had seen Scout kill some of his free-range chickens, but then changed his story and admitted he had never actually witnessed such a thing, but he said he knows the dog did kill them. Ferguson said Caddy did tell her that Scout had been killing some of his chickens, but offered no proof. Caddy believed he had every right to kill the dog, and under Washington law, we discovered he is correct. Caddy had warned Ferguson before that Scout was killing chickens, and according to state law, that's all he had to do before killing. As long as he notified the dog's owner, even if there's no proof, he can legally kill a dog if it returns to his property or threatens his livestock. And there's the story today. A neighbor who shot dog has law on his side, coming to us from KATU.com. And, of course, like I said, there is no winner here. This is a sad story. There's been lots of comments, about 18 comments on this, on our Facebook fan page. And we've all dealt with that. In fact, many times when we go and talk to city council members and whatnot about the predators, when predators have come up, I say, you know, probably the biggest predator are neighborhood dogs with their responsible owners that aren't responsible to keeping their dogs on their property or leased or caged or fenced in. And then they get out and come over to my property where I'm responsible and have my chickens in their coop. And then next thing you know, look what happens. So I report these just to let the dog owners and the chicken owners know that this happens, and it's happening quite frequently. These are just the ones that are getting reported. I know a neighbor three doors down from me who had chickens about 3 or 4 years ago called me up around 1 a.m., said there's two boxers inside my chicken coop, and all my chickens are dead. So his backyard was fenced. Somehow they pried the gate open, got up underneath, and then got into the chicken coop, the whole nine yards. But just want to share these with you more often than we want to. But it's just kind of bringing awareness to neighborhood dogs and talking with the dog's owner. So another not-so-pleasant story for chickens in the news. Well, Pat, I want to go ahead and get on with the show because we have great, great things happening today. Not only at about 10 minutes before the end of the show, we'll have chicken trivia contest today sponsored by McMurray Hatchery. They have donated for us and provided a Coop King McMurray Hatchery T-shirt. It's really cool design. I love the design on the front, and it's about a $12 value. That's a McMurray Hatchery Coop King T-shirt. And, of course, this morning, taking care of all the chickens and the goats with my wife, I felt like I was the Coop King out there, taking care of all my ladies out there, taking care of them, making sure they are happy, because happy chickens lay happy eggs. So we've got that. And then, of course, a little bit later after the break, we'll bring on Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Today he's talking about, from my understanding, green items that are new, green ideas, green products, green gadgets that are kind of new on the market, and get us up to date on what's going on out there in the green world. So we're looking forward to that. Let me get over here to the switchboard. And first, we're going to welcome to the show, as soon as the switchboard says he is live, let me press the button again. There we go. And, hang on just a second. It's acting a little funny today. Come on, switchboard. This may do it here. I think that did. Matthew with McMurray Hatchery, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Andy. Can you hear me all right?
We sure can. Thank you very much for joining us today. I know that you have a very special announcement for all of our listeners and fans out there. But not only that, you've provided us with today's prize for the chicken trivia contest at the end of the show. And Pat, if you'll be thinking of a chicken trivia question during the show, that will be awesome. And Jen, I know she's listening. If you can private message me a chicken trivia, we'll pick a good one. And at the end of the show, somebody's going to walk away with a Coop King t-shirt from McMurray Hatchery. But let's go ahead and talk about this big announcement that you have from McMurray Hatchery, Matthew.
Okay. Well, McMurray Hatchery is going to be hosting, we are hosting a chicken photo contest. And
great.
We're going to have a number of different prizes, and I wanted to go into just briefly how all this is going to work.
Go ahead.
Okay. We're going to have, we're accepting digital photos of chickens in three different categories. The first category is the best breed photo, and what that's for is either a picture of a single chicken or a male-female pair of chickens, and we're looking for your chickens that are representative of particular breeds. So,
hang on one second for me, Matthew. If you can just speak up just a little bit louder. We had one person in the chat room that said that they could hardly hear you, and I don't have a volume adjustment on my side for your phone, so if you could just, for the time being, a little bit louder for us.
Oh, okay. Okay, so
thank
that's
you.
The first category there is the chicken breed photo category, and then our next
okay.
category for photographs is too funny for words. And, you know, we've all, many of us who raised chickens have probably seen them do some pretty funny things, and some of them are pretty funny looking, so that's the place to post those type of photos. And then our last category is the That's So Sweet category, and that's for picture of maybe a young child holding a baby chick or baby chicken snuggled up next to its mother or next to the family pet, those type of photos. And we're going to be, we've got our website set up where you can upload your photographs and submit your entry. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the prizes and how the winner, how we're going to go about selecting the winners.
Okay, sure.
We'll go through a multi-stage selection process, and it's going to require some participation from everyone. And we'll give out prizes for the different levels of winners. First thing we're going to do is after we've received photos and after we reach the initial deadline for selecting the semifinalist, our staff will go through all the photos and select up to 20 entries for each category. So that's potentially 60 different entries. Each of those will become semifinalist, and they'll all receive a McMurray Hatchery tote bag, which is a real nice little tote bag.
Great.
And then after that, we're going to open it up so that everyone can participate in selecting the finalist and the winner. And we'll have a series of polls, first to select five finalists from each category, so a total of 15 finalists. And each of the finalists will receive a $25 coupon. It's good for any purchase from McMurray Hatchery. You can use it towards an incubator or a batch of chicks or a book on raising chickens or anything that we offer on our website or catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll set up polls where people can come in and vote on which photos they like the best. That's how we'll select the finalist, and then we'll have a separate set of polls for selecting the winner, and then we'll have a winner for each category. So we'll have three winners total, and then each winner will receive a $100 coupon from McMurray.
So, wow.
Yeah. So we're pretty excited about it. We're looking forward to it. We think it'll give everybody a chance to see some pretty interesting chicken pictures, chicken photos, and give everybody a chance to participate. So
That's a great idea. That's awesome. So we've got the chicken photo contest. Let's see, we've got, because I put it in here in the chat room, we've got the That's So Sweet category, the Too Funny for Words category, and then the, let's see if I can scroll up here, Best Breed photo. I guess that would be the representative, all the characteristics of that particular breed. And then, of course, multi-stage selection process. There'll be 20 entries in each category. We'll be finalists, I believe you said. And then and they'll get, I think, the tote bags. And then we have a gift card. And then, of course, the big gift card for the winner in each breed would be the $100 for McMurray, gift card for the McMurray website or catalog. That's absolutely awesome. When do you happen to know when you guys, because I don't know how, first off, the question in the chat room is, when is the deadline?
Okay. Our initial deadline we're setting for August 5th, on or around August 5th of this year. So.
Okay.
And then
on or around, okay.
Yes. Also, I didn't mention, but the link to get to more information on this, you can just go to our blog, blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com, blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com, and then right underneath the banner logo there is it says Chicken Photo Contest, and you can just click on that, and that'll give you more details on the whole contest and give you the link.
Okay, I may have typed that in wrong. We've got www.blog.mcmurrayhatchery or just McMurray?
Oh, no. If you leave off the www and just start it with blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com.
McMurrayhatchery.com. Okay, let me see if... Okay. It won't let me without the WWW in the chat room make it an active link, but I've got it in the chat room, so everybody knows how to get information and how to enter. Now, do they go to the blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com to get more information and to enter there, or do they go to mcmurrayhatchery.com and enter, just to make it clear for everybody?
Yeah, the blog has the announcement on it and has a link to the main page on the website that talks about
it. Okay, great.
Detail.
Perfect. So blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com. Photo contest, and with lots of great prizes, will run through or around August the 5th. Once the deadline, I'm sure, is decided, that will be posted as well. And now, is there any limit to photos? I know maybe, and I didn't know. Like I said, everybody wants always to know kind of the rules a little bit, and didn't know if there was any limit. If I have three funny pictures, but no too sweet pictures, or depending on the category, is there any limit of how many pictures I can upload?
No, you can upload as many as you have.
Okay, perfect. Oh, there we go. We have the link now. Leave it up to my wife to do it correctly there in the chat room, and there it is. Yep, so blog for McMurrayHatchery.com. So if you're in the chat room live, just click on that link that Teacher Jen just put up. That'll take you right over to where you need to get all the information for this wonderful contest from McMurray Hatchery. That's perfect. Any other information, Matthew?
No, I think that's it, Andy.
That's perfect. That's great. Well, keep us posted. Anytime you need to come on, give us updates. I guess you said since a lot of people will be voting or have a poll, we'll all be able to see the other pictures that have been entered. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. Yep. Great. That's super. Well, thank you for this great announcement on the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show. Of course, we'll put that on our Facebook page and on our Twitter, like I'm sure you will. And then, of course, we appreciate you donating today's prize for the chicken trivia contest. We'll have a little bit later in the show. So, Matthew from McMurray Hatchery, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Andy.
All righty. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Okay, folks, I'm going to run a few more commercials right now, and then we won't have to run any for the rest of the show. We'll just have the whole rest of the show for Richard Frudenberger and our topic with that. and then chicken trivia contest at the end of the show. So we'll be back right after this.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today. One real quick announcement. Sent out several press releases yesterday to the Chattanooga, Tennessee area news agencies, and within just a couple of hours, we were in the news. The Chattanoogan, which is, I believe, a local paper up there in Chattanooga, thechattanoogan.com, just within maybe 3 or 4 hours of us sending the press release, bam, there it is on their website. Chicken Whisperer visits East Brainerd Road Sonic on July 1st. And I'm not going to bore you with the details of the press release, but come on out to Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you're in Nashville, we have lots of fans in Nashville. Make the two-hour drive. Come on down. It's going to be from 11 to 2 o'clock on Thursday, July 1st. Going to have a great time. First 50 people that show up and that have the secret password, which, by the way, is Whisper, then they're going to get a free one-topping ice cream sundae. There's also going to be a Chicken Whisperer value meal for that day, which is going to be quite healthy. I believe it's going to be a grilled chicken sandwich on a wheat bun with apple slices and a drink of your choice. So that'll be a special value there for the day, the Chicken Whisperer value meal. How about that? All righty, Richard, thank you very much for joining us today. We've got lots of great information to talk about for the rest of the show. But first, I have to tell you, I've got to email you today because I have it in my computer. As I promised last time you were on, I had my lovely wife take a picture of me while I was sitting there basking in the sun under the beach umbrella with sand between my toes reading Back Home Magazine.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I sure did. I said, "There's passing the time on the beach by reading Back Home Magazine." I think I titled it, and so I'll have to get that to you so you can see. I'll have to post it on the website. I think I did. Actually, it was posted on our Facebook and got lots of great comments. In fact, one of the comments was, "I thought you were supposed to be working on your book." And we did get what we were supposed to get done while we were on vacation. The first outline for one of the first chapters on brooding. So, but yeah, I'll send you that picture over, Richard, so you can do what you wish. So, but thanks for joining us today. I believe today's subject, if I'm not mistaken, is all kinds of new things green that are either out on the market or ideas or gadgets or products. And so, Pat, you're still live. So, come on in and join the conversation with us.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Richard, welcome to the show again. So good to have you back. Just to remind everyone, yeah, Richard is the publisher and technical writer for Back Home Magazine, and they've been around at least 20 years, and before that they were, you were the original staff of the Mother Earth News, right, Richard?
Most of us here were, just about everybody here was from there first, and then we started this publication in 1990, so you're right on the button there, about 20 years.
Yeah, and then you had you folks did the Eco Village that was so famous and so amazing. Richard has a long history in green, all this is to say. So Richard, you were just at the Green Conference. Tell us about what's new in the green area.
Well, actually, it's the officially titled the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair, and that's an event in central Wisconsin in Stevens Point area. Since about 1991. I would say, or 92, this small group of environmental, green, and renewable energy people, a very small group to start, probably no more than six or eight people, got together and leased the county fairgrounds in Portage County, Wisconsin, to hold a little event every year around the solstice of June 21st, started out with just local folks, and then developed into regional folks, and we got wind of it fairly early, so we started going up there just to gather information for editorial and to help support them with our publicity and financially. And to make a long story short, the since 1991 or two when they started, they are now probably, without a doubt, the largest renewable energy fair in the nation. At I think last year we had close to 24,000 people show up at the event.
Wow.
It has since moved to a larger facility which they own, and they don't just run this fair. They also do a lot of outreach for the in partnership with the state of Wisconsin and in some cases Minnesota, and they also hold workshops on various areas of not just energy. They do the solar hot water, PV installation, green building, water conservation, energy conservation as far as house construction and that kind of thing, and covered a lot of educational areas too, a lot of training teachers how to run environmental programs in the public schools and, well, I assume private schools too. Anyway, it's a great organization, and they really are well organized, and they've done a wonderful growth pattern and a wonderful service to the I would say the community, but it's well beyond the community. These people have visitors from as far away as Australia, New Zealand, Europe, and all over the place in China. And I love going up there every year because we have a booth up there for the sale of our magazine and books, but we also speak. I bring people up with me, and we teach workshops and generally help them promote the whole thing. So it's been a great experience. And what I really intended to do was just talk a little bit about some of the newer things that may have come down the pike as a result of being in one place or in the same place with all these authorities and experts and knowledgeable folks. And some of these folks are advocates and grassroots people, and some are educators and university people, and some are professional installers, and some are manufacturers, representatives, and entrepreneurial reps for new products like wind turbines or solar equipment or whatever. And this year they always have a guest keynote speaker. This is a 3-day event, and the keynote speaker this time was Bill McKibben, who people will probably recognize as the author of The End of Nature, which was his first major book, and then he's done several of them since that. I think Earth exclamation point was one of his more recent ones. Anyway, this is an educated guy who has really studied the effects of global warming and overuse of resources and over-industrialization, overpopulation, all these things he analyzes, and has written several books on the related topic. So he is a speaker this year, and we've had other notable speakers in the years past. But there was nothing strikingly new there. I mean, nothing that was an earth-shattering event this year or earth-shattering news this year. Basically, what's happened though is that every state by state, not every state, but state by state, these states have been coming on on board as far as prompting or developing either tax credits or some type of a incentive one way or the other for residential, commercial, and industrial people to come on board with some form of renewable energy, like for the, you know, some of the industrial people, it may be a biomass technology or a large wind turbine technology or something, and for the residential folks, it would lean more towards PV panels on the roof or solar hot water or possibly small scale wind, and some, you know, some other things, or there could be some hydrogen technology, whatever. But what's essentially happened is that states who had maybe moderate incentives have now ramped up a little bit, and they have more attractive incentives. Some of them are experimental, where they go for a short term, and some of them are fixed term, and some of them are open ended, where at some point, I guess, when they figure out that the money is running out, or it is working, or it isn't working, whatever, they can finish their decide at some point later in the next legislative session when they can either expand it, close it, change it, whatever they need to do. Wisconsin and Minnesota, by the way, have both been very progressive states and with support for renewables. And this year, I had heard from a solar installer, that one of his clients was fortunate enough to receive a program, a very limited program. I think he said only 100 people were open for it, but this gentleman received it's not really a grant, it's just a contract basically from the state of Michigan and their local power provider, that he would set up a 3-kilowatt photovoltaic or solar panel set up at his farm to sell energy back to the local utility, and in exchange, just for the incentive to be attractive, he was paid 65 cents a kilowatt hour, which is about three times or more than three times the amount of which we pay retail for it, or most people pay retail. So it's three to six times in some states, depending on where the power comes from. But talk about an incentive. I mean, if anybody would be foolish not to do it. He had a farm, so he had the space and the need to, you know, they use electricity for pumps and fans and things like that. They also heat water in the dairy operations and things like that. So for him it was very attractive. And then he had any excess that he generated from that unit, he was able to sell back to the local utility for 65 cents. And I think, you know, the average person there was probably paying about 11 or 12 cents for their power. So that was that's not particularly sustainable. I don't think the state could continue to do that. But that is just, I guess it's almost a seat of the pants kind of thing. If enough people do this and it gets publicized enough, then people will still, I mean, I got 65 cents for it, but I will still get paid well for it, and it may be worth my while to system and then sell back some of the power through the net metering program, which is the programs that allow you to sell it back at a decent rate back to the power company. And it's just a checks and balances thing. When you make electricity in excess, you sell it back. When you are not making it in excess, you buy it from the power company, and it's all done with electronic equipment, and it's all handled internally, so you don't have to worry about carrying ledger sheets or anything like this. It's all downloaded digitally or printed out on a sheet. So we've come a long way from the old days when selling back power was a real headache and not doable in most of the states of the union. At this point, I think 44 or 45 states have solidified and finalized their programs for power sellback to their utilities. So it's just a few left, and once they get done, then all lower 48 and the Hawaii and Alaska will be covered as well.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real incentive. I mean, if people have the room, and even if they don't, I mean, even on a small scale, it can be worthwhile. As I said, they always power companies always like to publicize these things, so they look good. They're working with the public in some degree on renewables, because some of these companies really need to either use nuclear or need to set up smaller coal gasified equipment just to make peak power, which is that bump and spike in power they need in the summertime when everybody has the conditioner on. They have to provide the power one way or the other, so they would I mean, the good ones would rather it happen with renewables, but in some cases they just have to do it with some other means which may not be so renewable. So to help stave off some of the publicity that they may not want to receive about being nuclear powered or trying to build a new plant or something, they can say, well, look, we just put, 6% of our total production is now provided by renewables, wind and solar, so, we're trying. And that's a good thing, because that will grow over the years. Some states have mandated that a larger percentage be provided by renewables by 2015 or 2020, whatever the year may be.
I wonder how many times in the boardrooms when they're talking about this, or the power companies are getting pressure to do this and to allow this and however all the process works, how many times it comes up, and hopefully we'll see this change over the years, how many times to be on a fly on the wall to hear someone say, well, we might as well do it. I mean, realistically, it's not going to be that many people doing it, because it costs $15,000 to $20,000 to even absolutely get started doing it. So how many really people are going to do this? And then, would it really be, bad for us or our bottom line? And, right now it's $15,000 to $30,000. How many people are really going to do it anyway? So, yeah, sure, let's jump on the bandwagon. We'll offer this. We'll set it up. We'll do it for the six people in our area that's going to do it, and then we'll look good. Do you think that that's the first thing that pops into my mind when we talk about this and the power companies and some articles that I see about some are reluctant to doing this, that, or the other? What do you think? Is that?
Oh, I know that happens. I know that happens. We have a energy event, a renewable energy event every year that we co-sponsor. The magazine co-sponsors as a service, and this is a fairly large. 8,000 plus people come every August to the event here. It's in the Asheville area, Asheville, North Carolina. Progress Energy, which is one of our local utility providers, also co-sponsors the event. Again, as a public relations service, they want to look good, look green. They are part of what is titled in our state the North Carolina Green Power Program, which for an additional, I pay $4 a month additionally, and that buys me a block of green power from the utility. So the power is actually coming from some form of renewable. That program has been very, very successful. So you know that they are supporting it, even if it's just publicity. They are supporting it one way or the other. They need that. They need that publicity. They also need to tie in to outside sources of power in the event that they need to buy energy, which happens all the time. In certain peak conditions, it's cheaper for them to generate it from a local facility they may own, but if they have to, they can buy it outside. And if they buy it outside from a green source, they've done their good deed for the day, so to speak. But I know I have spoken with the vice president of operations several times for this huge power company. I mean, he comes to these events, he shakes hands with people, comes out, and it's I've got to believe it's more than just a face. I mean, this gentleman really knows his stuff, and in this particular case, and I can't speak for all the power companies, but I think they're really trying, and I know they talk about it quite a bit because, some years ago the pressure, it wasn't any question they could do much better by just building a couple of gas-fired coal plants, and they know they'd have guaranteed power and it wouldn't cost that much. And now the point is that they can actually get not just a fraction, but a reasonable percentage out of their wind turbines. I mean, they can get 6-7 possibly 10% out of turbines now, reliable power, and there's hydroelectric, and there's small scale hydro, and there's PV farms. We just had one installed north of us here about 2 months ago, just ribbon cutting ceremony here, moderately sized unit. But this is another. It's a photovoltaic farm where a private industry has sunk money into this thing to provide power to the power company for their peak and normal production hours, and it's good for them, it's good for the power company, and it's great publicity. So, and it also provided jobs. Our local installer, one of our larger ones, contracted with them, and they did all the work, and it was a win-win for all three parties, and it's worked out great. So I know these people in the boardrooms and in the operation centers are discussing this. Now, whether they have the full support on everybody unilaterally, I doubt it. I doubt that very much, but they do have enough pressure that I think they have to do it. So, I think we'll see that. And even the companies that are, there are a couple of them who I won't name, you know, at this point, but there are a couple of large utilities in the U.S. that just really have dug their heels in and just don't want to see it for whatever reason. But I think they'll come around eventually anyway, because they're going to have to. After this debacle in the Gulf, any of these people who are running oil-fired plants, and there still are some small oil-fired plants left that should just get kicked in when they really absolutely need the power. This is all going to be problematic in the future because they probably will not, you know, they don't want to be running those things just for the public relations, you know, damage. And also the cost of oil will undoubtedly, petroleum and fuel oil will undoubtedly be going up, even though at this point it's being held down, but it has to go up, and there's no question. So I think they're going to be looking more and more to the green, you know, the green sources.
What are some other things that you saw that and things you want to share with us about? Maybe some more cost-effective gadgets, things, ideas that people are doing in the maybe more residential area.
Well, I would say that another big news was that any of these people selling or either selling equipment or contractors who install the equipment, and in many cases they're sellers / installers as well. They all are on board with the financial incentives from both their states and the federal government. And this is something that's worth repeating. The federal government at a residential level has a 30% tax credit, which is actually for residential use, residential solar energy. It is unlimited. It used to be capped at $2,000. Now it is no cap at all, so it is wide open. You can get 30% back on your filing if you have a qualified installer install PV and solar water heating or solar water heating systems. And then at a state level, in our state, in North Carolina, we have a 35% state tax credit up to $10,500 for PV, wind, and small-scale hydro systems, and up to $3,500 for active space heating systems. So, you know, that's a big hunk out of that initial cost, and you get that back. Of course, you have to file taxes, and you have to do the long form, the 1040, with the additional form for the residential tax credit. But, that's not asking too much. That's sort of big news, because not everybody still, after years and years of these incentives, people still don't understand that sometimes. So that's always nice to know, and that's something that the fair goers and the contractors at the fair were hammering on repeatedly. Another thing is that just the cost of these photovoltaic panels is coming down. I mean, there's every year they come down a little bit. Now, there's been some spikes when the federal government of Germany mandated that 8% of their residential new construction had to include PV panels. It caused an incredible demand for panels, and the price, of course, shortage of panels, price goes up. But that's been sort of dwindling down since that time, which is I think 2006. But the other thing, other sort of nice thing, is that the increase in hot water solar panels, the old flat plate collector, which is the mainstream thing that was purchased, has been steadily supplanted by what they call vacuum tube panels, which are much more efficient. They were much more expensive as well, but that price has been coming down due to just design changes, just making it easier to replace individual components within the system. Before, if the glass broke, the whole thing had to be replaced. Now, if a part breaks, that part can be replaced. They've been completely redesigned. These tubes look like fluorescent light bulbs, except they're clear. And inside the bulbs, there's a vacuum and a collector strand that's long and skinny. And heat will transfer at a much lower temperature than if it's in a vacuum. The heat transfer occurs much more efficiently than if it's not. So a lot of these equipment manufacturers have been building these vacuum tubes. And now that the vacuum tube technology has reduced itself down to a much more reasonable cost, they're still more expensive, but not as expensive as they were a year or so ago. We can get more energy from fewer panels, which means that you don't have to have as large a space on your roof or in your yard to get this done. So that's always attractive to people architects and other people interested in what the thing's going to look like on your roof. The other thing I might make mention of is that there is a lot being done in solar cooling technology, and that's something that's just was always an experimental or laboratory research scenario. Now it's actually pushing closer and closer towards, and actually is in certain applications, is a fact in residential and commercial applications, and that's it's sort of a heat absorption technology, which would take me about 20 minutes to explain, and I'm sure I hardly understand it myself, but the anyway,
Richard, that sounds like a topic worthy of an entire show. I mean, that's such a new area and a cutting edge area. And we're running a little bit out of time, Richard, because we have a trivia question contest yet to do.
Oh, okay.
So, thank you so much for coming on the show. We also wanted to talk a little bit about, which we can do later on, maybe at another show, but just about how this oil spill is affecting the new science and the new green things that are coming out and the interest in them. So, Andy, do you have any questions for Richard before we go to the trivia?
If Richard will tell us how all of our listeners, because I know several have taken him up on his offer so far, if he can tell us how to subscribe to Back Home Magazine, that would be wonderful.
Okay, I'll do it real quick. It's online. We're at backhomemagazine.com. Our toll-free number is 800-992-2546, and we are available by good old snail mail at P.O. Box 70, Hendersonville, North Carolina, 28793, and the cost of a one-year subscription is $21.97, and we have over 100 book titles. We have other products and just a lot of back issues. We have 107 back issues now. We've been in business 20 years, so, you know, there you go. So maybe we'll hear from your listeners, and if not, we'll see you in, I guess, the second week of July, I think, is when I'm scheduled back, and we'll figure out what we're going to talk about before that.
That sounds wonderful. And, of course, as always, thank you very much for joining us. Always great, great information on living a self-sustaining lifestyle. And, folks, I passed some time on the beach reading the latest issue of Back Home Magazine, which was wonderful, and I encourage you to sign up, backhomemagazine.com. Thank you very much, Richard, for coming on today.
You're very welcome. We'll see you next
time. Thank you, Richard.
Bye-bye.
Gosh, that was
all right. That was really very cool, and we'll definitely have him back on, and we can pick some more amazing topics, because he's after 20 years of having his own magazine, and before that working with, of course, Mother Earth News Magazine, amazing, amazing knowledge, which is awesome. Okay, we're going to get right into our Thursday chicken trivia contest sponsored by McMurray Hatchery, McMurrayHatchery.com. They announced today on the show they're having a photo contest. And today, if you know the answer, you're going to win a King Coop T-shirt from McMurrayHatchery.com. It's valued at $12. That'll be shipped right to you from McMurray Hatchery. And we're going to take caller number 10. Caller number 10 today, if you know the answer, I'll give you the question here in just a second. Caller number 10 at the number, write it down, 347-637-3237. It's now time for the chicken trivia contest here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And just give us a call if you know the answer to the upcoming question, 347-637-3237. And this question was sent to me, and so we've got three answers to the question. I have a feeling one will probably be the dominant answer. But today's question, caller number 10, I'll have to answer it correctly, and they'll get the King Coop T-shirt. From McMurrayHatchery.com. Name one breed of chicken that has a beard. Name one breed of chicken that has a beard. And so we'll take caller number 10 if you know the answer to that question, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. Today's Chicken Trivia Contest sponsored by McMurray Hatchery. com, and go to blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com to take a look at the new contest, photo contest. They've got three different contests going on. I think one that says that's too cute and one that's for the best breed, and then there's another one. You can get all that information at blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com. And, of course, that was posted in our chat room. That was posted in our chat room. And, of course, tomorrow is another fun Friday. So we'll have to get together some Chicken Whisperer gear and some prizes, maybe some feed coupons, and give away some awesome prizes tomorrow, being Friday. It'll be fun Friday, and we'll have lots of prizes to actually give away. Today's question, we're waiting on caller number 10 at 347-637-3237. Name one breed of chicken that has a beard. I want to remind everybody, if you're in the Atlanta area, join us at the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group. Just go to meetup.com/chickens. That's meetup.com/chickens. We have a meetup tonight in Covington, just a little bit outside of Conyers. That's tonight at 7:30. You can join and get all the information for that. We meet around three, four, five times every month with the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group, www.meetup.com/chickens. Let me get over here to the switchboard. Let me go ahead. Let's see what we got here. Maybe scroll down here. One chicken. Name a breed of chicken that's got a beard. Let me go ahead and get a pen and paper so I can get this information down as well. So I can contact them back and get their shipping information. There we go. Hang on. All righty. We're going to caller number 10 right this second. If my switchboard cooperates. There we go. Caller calling in for the contest from area code 971. 971, you are live on the air. State your name and what state you're calling from.
This is Lisa Cunningham from Oregon.
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 Welcome, Lisa.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we're looking for a, well, I think I've got three on my list that have a possible beard. What answer do you want to give us today on the trivia contest?
How about the Houdan with the beard and the five toes?
That is perfect. That's one of my answers. Yeah. We have the Americana, the Faverolle, and the Houdan. So that is absolutely perfect. How about that, Pat? We got a winner first thing.
That's excellent. What a good question. That was a really great question. Yeah.
That is
do you have any Houdans there in Oregon?
No. No, this is my first year with chickens, and I have a couple of Americanas, but I haven't
seen
beards.
Beards.
They're just little babies right now.
Well, they have little mini beards.
They have little poofy cheeks.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Of course, it looks like Whisper has a beard, too, so maybe he could qualify for the answer on this show. We'll call them the Bearded Chicken Whisperer.
Yeah, a little goatee. Hey, Lisa, are you a member of Chickens in the Yard?
Chickens in the Yard.
How close are you to Salem, Oregon?
Not too close, about a half an hour.
Oh, that's not too bad. You needed to go to chicken-revolution.com. It's the Chicken Revolution, the struggle to legalize urban hen keeping in Salem, Oregon. They've got a DVD out on their fight to try to make chickens legal. And let me see if there's a website. Yeah, just go to chicken-revolution.com. And there's a group there called Chickens in the Yard, CITY. And there's the DVD they've got out. You can see on the webcam. And a great video, lots of valuable information if you're trying to change the laws in your area. And I just didn't know if you knew those great folks over there or not. But we're running out of time. I'll give you a call after the show to get your shipping information so I can get that over to McMurray Hatchery, and they can get that great T-shirt to you. So thank you very much for listening and calling in.
Thank you. Love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Lisa.
All righty, Pat. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Tune in tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio for Fun Friday. We'll be giving away lots of prizes, including a prize from tomorrow's sponsor, RandallBurkey.com. They'll be here with the hatchery special of the day, and tomorrow's chicken trivia contest, they'll be donating a prize from Randall Burkey. So we'll see you tomorrow at noon p.m. Pat, take it away.
Okay. Well, what a really interesting show. Gosh, thanks to all our sponsors again. We wouldn't be here without you. Thank you. And, of course, Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer, thanks for all the things you do and bringing us all together here in this amazing talk show every day. And, of course, thanks to the chat room Chickeneers for clucking along. I mean, it's always a hoot and certainly an enjoyable and fun time. And, of course, to everyone and everyone and every place, may the flock be with us all. God bless everybody.
Ha ha.